You're listening to The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and with Helen Scales on the subject of lasers this week.
Well, Ben Valsler has been to meet Artemis, one of the devices at the STFC's Central Laser Facility in Oxfordshire. Artemis produces light known as XUV, which is a wavelength between UV and X-rays. It fires very short bursts of energy, lasting 30 femtoseconds. That's 3 times 10 to the minus 14, or 30,000th of a million. Millionth of a millionth of a second long. Phew, I hope you figured that one out. And that's what scientists like Dr. Emma Springate can use to probe the fundamental properties of matter.
We're in Artemis, so it's the CLF's facility for ultrafast laser and XUV science. So we have a big laser system that produces really, really short pulses of light, 30 femtoseconds or so, and we use that to generate pulses of XUV, which is radiation in the region between the UV and the X-ray region, so 10 to 100 nanometers or so.
And in order to come in, we've had to don aprons and shoe coverings. We've just walked across a sticky floor and we've got goggles on. So obviously there's a lot of safety issues, but I'm guessing the aprons and shoes are not safety, but to stop contaminating the laser.
They are, yeah. They're to try and keep down the amount of dust in the lab. If you get dust on some of the optics, the lasers are intense enough that they can actually burn the dust onto the optic and make a hole in the laser beam. And we also use a lot of ultra-high vacuum equipment as well. We generate the pulses of XUV in vacuum, and then all of our experiments are done under very high vacuum as well. It helps to keep the lab cleaner.
So the lasers in this room are at X-ray strength, but we're still wearing goggles. Surely X-rays aren't going to go straight through goggles, and it's going to affect the rest of our bodies just as much as our eyes. So are the goggles really necessary?
The lasers themselves generate light at 800 nanometers, which is just on the red end of the visible spectrum. There's also a lot of green light around from the pump lasers that put the energy in the titanium doped sapphire crystals that actually make the 800 nanometer light. So those are the main things that the goggles prevent us against. The X-rays that we produce are in the vacuum ultraviolet XUV region of the spectrum, so basically they're absorbed in air, so we generate them in vacuum, and through most of their journey anyway they're inside a vacuum chamber with stainless steel walls, so yeah, the X-rays are the least of your worries in this room.
So the X-rays that you're using for science, essentially an end product, and these goggles protect us from the other lasers that you use to create those in the end.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah.
It's very noisy around here as well. Is that just the pumps for the vacuums, or are there other bits of kit that are making that noise?
The noise you mostly hear is the power supplies for the pump lasers. The chugging noise that you can hear away, kind of like an old man wheezing, that's the cryocompressors. So the titanium-doped sapphire crystals in the laser that we use have to be cooled down to cryogenic temperatures with helium pump around them. Most of the vacuum pumps we keep underground to try and keep the noise level down a lot.
There's a lot of kit in here that I couldn't even begin to understand. What are each of these machines?
So at the back of the room over there we have the laser system. So it's an ultra-fast laser system. And then we have two tables full of optics to generate much shorter pulses of light by focusing the light into a hollow fibre filled with gas, and also to generate light across the wavelength range from the UV to the mid-infrared. And the idea is that we can use any combination of these pulses as a pump to initiate a change in a molecule or solid, for instance, or to generate X-rays, and then another laser pulse to probe at a later time what's going on in the experiment. And then we have a whole series of vacuum equipment, so a vacuum chamber where the X-rays are generated. The XUV can only propagate in vacuum, so we have a series of vacuum chambers to monochromatise the light, filter it and refocus it down, and experimental interaction stations at the end of the beamlines.
So the interaction stations are where scientists can actually go and actually get to do some science with all this amazing kit.
Yes, indeed they are. So we have two. We have one for material science, for people looking at experiments in condensed matter. So we have a couple of groups who are interested in highly correlated electron systems, which are the kind of materials that high-temperature superconductors are, and people interested in ultra-fast demagnetisation, so using lasers to switch on and off the magnetisation in materials and look at how fast that changes. That's the kind of things they do in the material science station. And we have a group in at the moment doing an experiment on our station for gas phase experiments, looking at small clusters of helium.
My name is Klaus von Haften. I'm from the University of Leicester, from the Department of Physics and Astronomy. I'm investigating a very basic effect in condensed matter physics and gases and in liquids. And we want to find out how molecules that rotate in these, how they couple to the environment and how the environment slows their rotation down.
Is this a pure physics problem, or are there some applied examples that we could think of?
There's not no direct application, but the problem is relevant not only for physics, also for chemistry, for biology, because molecules play a central role in everyday problems. We have chemical reactions, for example, and chemical reactions depend on how molecules are aligned to each other. And when molecules rotate, they get misaligned and react in different ways. So we need to understand this.
How are you using lasers to actually study this?
Well, it's difficult to see how molecules rotate for two reasons. One reason is they're very small, and secondly, they rotate very fast. So we need a sort of microscope, and the laser light acts as this sort of microscope. And these lasers here are particularly fast, and they allow us to track the rotation of the molecules.
So you fire a laser at a molecule very, very quickly, I'm assuming in very, very short bursts. How do you then pick it up, and what can that tell you?
Well, the trick is to use two laser pulses and to have one as a reference and to fire the second laser pulse with a delay time between the two. And we control this delay time and see how much the position of the molecule has changed. This is information on the rotation that we want to get.
And what's going to be the next step? Once you've collected that information, what do you do with it?
Well, we have to think then. We have to think and analyze the data, and we need to develop some finer theories for that. This is a true cutting-edge experiment because we have some preliminary data that tell us that these effects exist but never have been observed before or seen before. So it is very difficult to answer this question because if it's something never done before, so how can you predict what happens in the future? So if you look at the data, and we have theoreticians in the team who are smart enough to develop ideas.
That was Dr. Klaus van Houften from the University of Leicester, and before him, the STFC's Dr. Emma Springate. They're talking with Ben Valsler.